This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Five touchdown passes for Lamar.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
10-5 touchdown. Kyler Murray, a 44-yard touchdown run as soon as he got past the defender. That was all she wrote.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Lions head coach, Dan Campbell. Host of Glory Days podcast, Johnny Manziel. BYU quarterback, Jake Retzlaff. Actor, Nick Turturro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. What a lineup. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, otherwise known as three crazy guests and a Jewish quarterback from BYU walk into a show. That's our lineup today.
Every good joke starts like that.
You know what I mean? I don't mean to refer to the head coach and potential coach of the year of the Detroit Lions as a crazy guy, but he's a great kind of crazy. Dan Campbell of the 5-1 Lions will be on this program in just about 20 minutes time. Then it comes Johnny Manziel, Nick Turturro, diehard nutty Yankee fan. He takes his shirt off every time they win, despite being in public, like in Cleveland. In game five, he will be in studio in hour number three. He's going to keep his shirt on. And then Jake Retzlaff of the BYU Cougars. They are 7-0. They're 11th ranked in the country. And yes, I'll be very rarely. I mean, we talked to Steve Young before. So Jake will be the first bar mitzvah quarterback of BYU football I've ever spoken to. And that'll be later on in hour number three. It's a Tuesday, meaning it's an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday show. Chris Brockman and I recorded Overreaction Monday, the podcast version. Please check that out later on today. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Once we are done here, we'll be taking care of business on What the Football. Kurt Warner will be zooming in. Can't wait to hear what Kurt has to say about Russell Wilson's first start as a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's later on in our podcast version. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, more importantly, Banner 18 gets raised tonight.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, what are you doing?
That's right. It's the Celtics.
NBA opening night, the coronation of Banner 18. Let's go.
With the Knicks in town as well. And then you've got the Timberwolves and the Lakers in the Downtown Hoops Dojo tonight. And then the rest of the NBA tips off later on. And, it's an NBA season, which means Joel Embiid's got to miss a game. That'll be Wednesday though. Hey, TJ Jefferson, how are you? Candles already lit over there. Good to see you.
I love how you take shots at a man's physical liabilities and
very
try
good.
To make jokes out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I
That's
saw him.
Great. That's
he
awesome.
He's running like a deer winning a gold medal.
It's awesome.
So that was 2 months ago last time I saw him.
It's great.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you over there.
How here, coach.
You? Okay, very good.
Here.
He's got it going.
Mike?
He's got his own drops and everything.
Let's go.
Let's start this as we do every single Tuesday with a Monday Night Review presented by Lowe's. Let's hit that right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. So now. On Monday's show, fresh off of the Lions beating the Vikings, I said the Lions were the class of the NFC. That has not changed in my estimation. I also said Jared Goff was the clear most valuable player of the National Football League. And if you run back that video, you will not see me having my finger on the chess piece. But
we can always delete that.
No, it's not deleting it. I had my finger on a chess piece, just verbally, not physically, on a chess piece. It's a figuratively on a chess piece by saying Jared Goff was the MVP of this league. I'd now like to amend my comments, if I may.
As you should.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hold strong. Come on.
No, Jared Goff is balling out, and I'll talk about that with Dan Campbell when he joins us in about 15 minutes' time. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is in line to be MVP of this league again because he's really good at the football. And last night when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came out and scored on their opening drive, and Mike Evans, making our magic eight ball look pretty damn good, did in fact start, did in fact play, did in fact come up with his 100th career touchdown reception. And then the Buccaneers defense went out there and three and outed Lamar, sacked him twice, got off the field, and then the Bucs are up 10-0. I thought this could be a night for Tampa, even though I chose the Ravens to win it. And, listen, guys, things can change. Momentum can switch. And then Lamar started playing football. He is unbelievable. He can avoid the rush and now keep his head up and find the open receiver. And then he can take off and gut you that way. He was relentless last night. You know, he was relentless in a similar way that we watch Josh Allen being relentless, that we've seen in the past Aaron Rodgers when he was MVP be relentless. We saw him as relentless as Russell Wilson when he was cooking. And by relentless, I mean you can't get him on the ground when you have him surrounded or seemingly sacked. You can't get him phased. He's the one who's just constantly coming at you and looking to steal your soul. And he has actually played better this year than his two MVP seasons. And in those seasons, it was one of those like, well, yeah, who's going to really catch the football from him? He's got Zay Flowers. He has Rashad Bateman in the end zone. Guys, he now has four career five touchdown games in which he has five or fewer incomplete passes. Four times in his career now. Four. Do you know who's had that many such games in their career?
Tom Brady.
No, sir.
Drew Brees.
No, sir.
Steve Bartkowski.
It's a word the Harbaughs like to say. Nobody. He's the first such guy.
Not Y.A. Tittle?
To ever do it. Lamar Jackson now has a fifth career game with five passing touchdowns and no interception. Brady and Brees have more than that. They have eight. But Lamar now has five, tied with Rodgers, Peyton, and Ben Roethlisberger in that regard. He had yet another terrific game under the lights. 18-5 now in his career. Best primetime winning percentage in the Super Bowl era. The only one with a better one is Steve Young at 23-6. John Harbaugh had this to say about Lamar Jackson after he personally, in the first half, destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night.
He's the ultimate competitor. There's no question about it. He's, I don't know if I've seen a better competitor than Lamar Jackson. And I've seen some competitors, you know, a lot of some great competitors. But he is in that level with the greatest competitors that I've ever seen. Maybe the greatest. We'll see. You know, just amazing.
And you know, I'll say this here too. Watching him perform as an MVP last year and then raise his game this year, and we'll discuss in a second why his game might be a little bit raised as well. Mm-hmm. And I think you might know where I'm going with that one, right?
Right.
But after 17 for 22, 281 pass yard, five passing touchdown, zero interception, 158.1 passer rating game on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay team at 4-2, that is the only team to have beaten the Lions this year, in Detroit, by the way, too. And what he looked like last night and what he's doing again this year. First time Ravens have ever dug out of an 0-2 hole with a five-game win streak, too, by the way. And so what he's doing in terms of his value and showing out how he's most valuable again. And in the spirit of the fact that another NBA season is tipping off tonight. The worst take I've ever had in the history of this show is that the Miami Heat should not trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? I think that's in the clubhouse. Right?
It almost made my head explode.
There may be a new one in the fact that when Lamar Jackson was in fact available to be had in this league, when he was saying, I'm holding out on the Baltimore Ravens and I want to trade, and I sat here and said, the Jets and nobody else should trade two first overall picks for this guy. That may be up there as one of the dumbest takes I've ever had on this program. Because right now, if anybody went ahead, and now listen, the Ravens, and again, I'll say in a second why obviously this is a great spot for Baltimore to have him and why he's in a great spot with Baltimore. This said, I don't know if he would have had the same success had Atlanta gone and done what a lot of people thought they should do and that what they were apparently considering doing before Arthur Smith said, the Arthur above the flow chart said, let's not do this.
Right.
And the Jets, who were, you know, kicking around Derek Carr and then Aaron Rodgers as Lamar stayed put, all told. I don't imagine anybody, if this was the guy that they were going to get, would be missing any first-round selections by this point.
Nope, already forgot about him.
Because he's just out of his skull. That's how well he's playing. And this is exactly why John Harbaugh, when Lamar did ask for a trade, as Harbaugh's butt hit the chair at a press availability at the owners' meeting, remember that happened? Mm-hmm. That it looked like Lamar hit send on that public request?
Yep.
Why he said nothing, and the Ravens kept everything in-house. Now, you did hear stuff about Lamar's work ethic and eating habits and all that sort of stuff, but that is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Long gone. And yes, it does matter what might happen later on this postseason when rubber meets road and Lamar's going to have to win or go home game that, you know, he has struggled in his career. But it will definitely help to have a Hall of Fame running back at that point in time, because that's what the Ravens have. In a first half where Lamar was just going off, and it was only 17-10, they scored 17 unanswered points after the Bucs scored the first 10 unanswered, and then they got, you know, a field goal to go up 20-10. Then Derrick Henry takes over. And what they've got in Derrick Henry is the guy who, through 7 weeks, leads the NFL in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and 100-yard games. Did I miss anything? His 873 rush yards through 7 games of the season is his best such mark through 7 games of a season in his career. So the idea of marrying Derrick Henry to the Ravens rush game with Lamar Jackson meeting him at a mesh point seems to have been a very good idea. And the days of us wondering through the first 2 weeks of the season of do they know how to make it work in this offense, that's long gone too. The Ravens through 7 games, the first team to average 250 yards passing and 200 rushing yards in the National Football League through the first 7 games of a season. How do you like that, apples? Right there. Period. No one's ever done that before. Lamar and Derrick Henry together. And how about this stat, too? How does Derrick Henry potentially help Lamar? Here you go. YPA is a stat. You got to look it up. It's yards per pass attempt, which I guess could be YPPA, but listen.
Yards per attempt.
Yards per attempt. Okay. The Ravens are averaging 10.7 YPA, yards per attempt, after a running play this year. That's the best such mark this century. So they run it, and you're like, uh-oh, and then they pass it, and they get a first down. How about that? It's amazing they lost 2 games with these numbers, but it took a while for them to get their sea legs.
It didn't look like this. Yeah,
it took a while. Took a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're on a roll. They must be butter, to use the phrase of a friend.
They're on a roll.
And now they're at Cleveland. Oh, boy.
They might put up 70.
Home for Denver, home for Cincinnati. Then they start playing their division schedule before we see a Monday night Harbowl to wrap up November. That's how good this team is, guys. That's how good the Ravens look right now. Mark Andrews is scoring touchdowns. They're getting, you know, Kyle Van Noy was a defensive player of the month for the AFC in September. Now you're seeing Marlon Humphrey pick off a couple passes. Roquan Smith, as we all know, is a wrecker of games and, unfortunately, for the Buccaneers' ankles. And that's how good the Ravens are. They just showed it last night in 4 quarters of football.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Lamar is really, really great, but cool. I need to see it in the playoffs.
No, I know that, and that's an absolute...
he's really fun to watch. He's so dynamic, but it's like, what happens in January? Like, well, where is that guy in January?
Well, that guy's got 22 this time around, and I don't mean to say it, but you have to keep reminding it. You have to keep saying it. I am sorry. Jerry Jones brought it up today, apparently unsolicited, in his Tuesday media session that he normally has locally on the radio. Derrick Henry would absolutely be looking great next to number four, and whatever ails the Cowboys would be better in the regular season. And in, when it all comes down to it, rubber meeting road, it's 20-something degrees out. You want to tackle that guy? Unbelievable. When he gets ahead of steam 81 yards last night, it just it looks like a cartoon. He looks like the biggest roadrunner ever. You just again, you hear the whoosh noise.
Meet me.
As he runs down the field at that size and that speed.
He's the anvil that falls on your head.
He is from the Acme tool company. Yes, sir.
He can be both, actually, the roadrunner and the
anvil. Yes, indeed. I mean, again, that was last night. That's my take of what I saw from the Ravens last night. That was our Monday Night Review, presented by Lowe's, official partner of the NFL. It's easier to make the right calls with the right team. So kick off your next home improvement project with Lowe's. Lowe's knows home improvement. Dan Campbell is coming up next. Johnny Manziel after him. Mick Dituro, diehard Yankee fan from the NYPD Blue Days back in the day. He's in studio in hour number three. And Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback of the 7-0 BYU Cougars.
Cougars.
We will talk with him in hour number three. It is also an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and it's a time for you to call in if you wish to at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back with Dan Campbell when we return on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, our Rich Eisen Show Fantasy Basketball League has been drafted yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Took an hour and 10 minutes, which, as you know, is 10 minutes too long for me.
Yeah, we all know.
You're a strange person.
I'm not a strange person.
We know because I saw the text about it.
I text about it and complain about it.
Yeah, we know. We know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You're not going to get your way. This isn't.
Oh, I never will. I understand that. I got Luka. Make it longer. I got Luka. Not going to make it longer.
Luka.
Yep. So now I got to come up with a. He might be the best name you can have fun
do
with.
Do like puns off of for your,
yeah.
for your team.
Yeah. I've got two.
Okay.
The Luka Brotzis.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And you'd like that one, right?
Yeah. Sleeps.
What's your avatar, though? Just like.
Well, it's Luka.
It's just him.
I think being choked. Being like choked. The very bad spoiler alert. Yeah. Or it could be a fish.
Yeah.
Wrapped up.
Yeah,
because the rest of the league will sleep with the fishes when the Luka Brazzis have. No. Or if I win, the other one is Luka, What You Made Me Do.
Those are good.
Great.
You know?
Those are good.
Xander came up with that one.
I believe that.
Odd that he would come up with the Taylor Swift one. He was very proud of that.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. Luka, Look What You Made Me Do is a...
Okay.
Luka, What You Made Me Do.
Okay.
Not a bad one. So, it's up in the air. Yeah. I like yours, TJ. Back on the Rich Eisen Show.
I think I got the best team name in the league.
We'll talk about that later on. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This man's team is 5-1 for the first time in back-to-back years in the history of the Lions in Detroit. Detroit, welcome to the Lions in 1934. They've never been 5-1 in back-to-back years as this man has, but he's marathoning. He's not sprinting. He's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good. Business as usual. On to the next one.
I know. But we in the media, we can't turn the page so quickly. So what do you make of your 5-1 start so far, Dan?
Yeah, I think we're right on pace. There's always going to be ebbs and flows to a season. We hit a little rough patch, after we won the opener and got in a dogfight with Tampa, couldn't quite overcome a couple of errors, one of them being my own. And so we dropped that one, but we learned from it. We got better and you just take it as it comes, man. And I love where we're at right now, and I love where our team's at.
Your quarterback's on a heater. I mean, and I think I might be understating it right now. So what do you see from Jared Goff right now compared to other quarterbacks you've seen on heaters in your career as a player or a coach, Dan?
I mean, he's playing at a high level. Look, I was fortunate to be around Drew Brees as a player, but as a coach, for a combination of 6 years. And when you're around – that type of player, it's rare. And to see the professionalism, the work that goes into it, the process, the competitiveness, and there's things about golf that remind me of him. And, he's got a workman's attitude. He's blue collar in that way. A quiet confidence. He doesn't get frazzled. He's tough. He's just, man, he's seeing it. And because of that, we put a lot on him. Ben Johnson's done a hell of a job. Ben asked a lot of him. And we just, that Minnesota game now, that the defense does a lot and they give you a lot of different looks. And if your quarterback can't handle it, you're going to struggle against them. So our guy's playing at a high level. I'm really not surprised just because I know what he's put into it. And he's an accurate passer. And he's a dude, man. He's one of those guys. So we're fortunate to have him. And sky's the limit for him.
So is his accuracy, is that Breeze like to you? What is Breeze like to you when you're watching Jared right now?
Yeah, I think it's the accuracy, man. I think it's the ability to process what the defense is doing to you and in a split second to be able to make an accurate throw, And I think to be able to I said this the other day, what certain players have in their head and what they've got in their heart is what separates guys in this league. And so there's a lot of players that have ability, but when you start talking about the quarterback position, man, if you don't have it up there and you don't have that drive and that competitiveness and that spirit, man, you'll break. You'll crumble. You can't do it. It's too much pressure. There's too much put on you. And our guy's got that. He's a winner, man. That's the bottom line. Your quarterback, the first description of a good quarterback is a guy who can win. And this guy's a winner. So I'm glad we got him.
Yeah. And when you did get him, I mean, this is when you arrived in Detroit too, Dan, and your famous speech that you gave when you first arrived, talking about how this team was going to mirror the city's identity. It's kind of crazy that it's a kid from Northern California, right, who does do exactly that at the most important face-forward position in this town, at the quarterback spot. And I'm wondering what you said to him when you first arrived there and he first arrived there. And a lot of people thought he was just being cast off by the Rams to Detroit, where he would just kind of have a little bit of a way station for you and him.
Well, look, first of all, I know he's a California kid, but you know where he comes from, and his folks, his dad. I mean, he comes from blue collar roots now. I mean, so it's not like he's, you know, he had a silver spoon in his mouth. So he's had to earn what he's gotten. He's had to work for it. But here's what I said this from day one. I said it when Brad talked about acquiring him, I was all for it. And here's why, because if you want to know, my first experience with Jared Goff was standing on the opposite sidelines for 3 years in a row, and watching one of the top defenses I've ever been a part of as a coach or a player, which is New Orleans Saints, give that guy fits and watch him get hit and get up, make another accurate throw on the money, get hit, get up, make another accurate throw, NFC Championship game at the Superdome, just freaking brings that team back and ends up, you know, defeating us. And I just saw the environment, the type of pressure that he was under, and just thinking, this guy won't break. And I would have swore he would have broke. I'm just like, this guy can't handle this. And I don't know many quarterbacks that could. And it was impressive, man. And that's the type of thing that sticks in your memory. And you don't forget those moments. And you're like, I don't know this guy, but I know enough sitting here watching on the sideline that this guy has found a way to win, and he just won't give up, and he just keeps coming back for more. And there's a quiet competitiveness about him that man, you want that type of guy on your team.
So you're saying if he's a wine drinker, he drinks it straight from the bottle? Is that what you're saying, Coach?
Oh, I'm sure he has at one point in his life.
When did you do that? I heard this whole exchange yesterday.
I'm just throwing stuff out. I mean, it's happened before. I wouldn't say I that's something I major in. But.
Red or white? Was it a red or a white that you drank?
It was red.
Okay.
It was red.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. I approve that message then. I approve it. Dan Campbell here on the Rich Eisen Show. How's my guy Hutch doing? How's Aiden Hutchinson doing right now? Coach.
He's doing all right. And he's doing all right. You know, and he's still, you know, that's tough, man. When you're playing at a high level like he is, and he's, you know, one of the outstanding players in this league, on a really good year, having a really good year. And that type of injury happens. It's tough. It's tough to process. It's tough to process the injury itself. You know, how bad is this? What is this? Am I going to be able to come back? What am I going to look like when I come back? Can I come back this year? Is it next year? And then you start thinking about, man, the year I was having and, you know, the aspirations our team had. And it's a lot. And it takes a while. You know, it takes a while to get through that and just kind of start finding your way back. But I would say he's in good spirits. You know, Hutch, he doesn't, if he's down, he doesn't stay down long. And, said it before, if anybody's going to come back better than before, it'll be this guy. I mean, he's a workaholic. He'll grind on it. He'll do whatever it takes to come back better than he was. And so that's why I feel good about where he's going to be when it's all said and done. So it's not going to be long. We talked about this about a week ago. He's going to start getting an itch in about a month. He's going to start feeling better. It's going to start healing up, and I can see it. So he's hanging in there. He's doing well.
When do you think you might be able to get him back around the team if not be cleared to even be on the sideline? Obviously, it's dicey with the injury he had to be around guys who might fly out of bounds, but what do you think on that front?
Just get him around. I mean, it's hard to say. Look, anytime he wants to be around when he feels right and we do feel like he's in a position where he doesn't get wiped out or something on the sideline, he knows he's wanted here. So we'll figure that out. If we have to put him in a cage off to the side, we'll do that.
He might say yes to that. He might do that. And, you know, obviously that was quite a downer, but you were able to say the least, but you were able to come back and win that game. And your team has been on a very nice roll right now. And in that game, when you're taking on Dallas, a lot was made about some of the play calling and how you had a whole bunch of tackle eligible plays settled for that game and Was that intentional? Were you going into that game and saying we're going to run a bunch of plays with some formations similar to the ones that everyone was talking about because of the way you did not win the last time you were in Dallas? Was that intentional?
Well, one of them was the fact that, you know, we didn't get Taylor Decker a score. We went into Dallas in 2023 saying we're going to get Taylor Decker a touchdown. It didn't happen. So 2024, we got to make up for it. And it didn't work out. We've been cooking the one with Sewell for a while. We felt like that was the week to do it. I told the team before we went in that game, we were going to use everything we had. And we weren't saving anything. And so we kept that promise. We're playing to win. And that's really the bottom line.
And, you know, what do you think that's intentionally sending a message to your team? I imagine. Is that what you're doing? You're sending a message to your team that you're plugged into the sort of stuff that they know what they would find fun, but is also a winning strategy? I'm just wondering, trying to get into your game of chess that you play as the HC of the Detroit Lions, Dan.
Yeah, well, I think don't you want to be predictably unpredictable? Isn't that the whole point of all this? So I don't know if I want to give you insight into my head. I'm not even sure I could tell you what's in there. I think our guys, man, we don't just throw this stuff up against the wall. I know it looks like it at times. And when they don't work, it does. It sure looks like that. But when we have these ideas, Ben does a great job and the offensive staff. And we talk about it. And, you know, what do you think? Is this the week? I said, yeah, this is the week. Let's do it. And so we'll work it. And if it feels right, we use it. If not, we save it for the next week. And if it's not ready, then we'll save it for 2 weeks after that. But we continue to work it every week until it feels right. And we feel like we can handle any look. And so when you go in saying you're going to use it, and that to me, for the most part, I'm not always 100% that way. But if I promise the team I'm going to do something, we're going to do it. So if I tell them we're using everything, we're going to use it. And I don't know, man. I take that. That means something to me, and it is what it is.
Just want to ask you about a couple Alabama players on your team in the few minutes I have left with you. Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions here on the Rich Eisen Show. Reports in my world are that Jameson Williams is facing a 2-game suspension. I know as you and I are talking right now, you can't talk about it, but what can you tell me that you do know about Jameson Williams right now?
Well, I do know that that we are prepared to not have him for the next 2 games. And the guys that we have here are going to be ready to roll. And they've been here. Guys we trust: Khalif Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tim Patrick, Allen Robinson, you know, and then we got Gibbs, we got Montgomery, we got Laporta. I mean, so we'll be just fine here. Next guy will step up and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, I know Gibbs wasn't the other Alabama guy I was referring to. The other one is Brian Branch, man. I mean, what did you see in him that we're seeing in him right now, Dan?
Well, Brad and I both, man, when he was coming out, we fell in love with him immediately. And because the way he plays the game, I mean, he's a football player. He's instinctive. He's tough. And, you know, we went through his whole season. We're like, okay, did anybody see a missed tackle in there? We couldn't find a missed tackle in his college tape. And the guy is as sure a tackler as you're going to find. He's a ball guy. And so that's what we saw. We saw a guy who we felt like could impact the game. And AG's done a hell of a job with him. He's really thriving at the safety position for us. And nickel, he was outstanding last year at nickel. But we always talked about, man, if we could put him at safety – and really let him go. In our defense, he could really, really thrive because you have a little bit of freedom. You know, there's things that you're allowed to do, use your instincts, play ball within the structure of the defense. But, and he's just grown every week. He's gotten better and better and better, and he's on a tear right now. So the sky's the limit for Brian Branch.
And again, just, you have so many of these guys that just mirror what appears to be the style you want to have, and the city as well. I mean, Montgomery too. I mean, he is unbelievable right now, and I'm wondering what you saw in him from Chicago to say this is the guy. Because obviously, when you get a nice shiny object like Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to want to try and give him the ball 30 times. But you're sticking with Montgomery, and for good reason. Dan?
Well, I said this before. When you go against Montgomery, you know, it was fortunate or unfortunate, however you want to look at it, right, to have to go against him in the division. So, you know, you get a couple of years of going against that guy. And I remember all four times we played him, I'd come into AG and I said, I know what they've got over there. But I said, this guy, 32, he was 32 at the time in Chicago. I said, this guy worries me. This is a guy we have to account for. We cannot let this guy beat us. And it was because of his vision. He's strong. He's compacted, strong runner, and he's aggressive, man. The way he runs the ball, the way you want an RB to run the ball, man. And he runs with attitude and fight and finish, and everything's about his demeanor, right? Like he wants to try to embarrass you. He wants to drive you into the ground. And he's the one who's carrying the ball. So, like, to me, when you have a ball carrier that way, it inspires people around you. It inspires your blockers, right? It inspires the O-line, the receivers, the everybody. And so so that was my first look at him, was in the division. And I said, man, that guy right there. And you always say, well, you see some of these guys sometimes that you have to go play against. And every once in a while, you're like, man, what would he look like with us? And we were fortunate to be able to get him. It actually worked out.
Last one for you. I'm going to take a stab at this one, thinking that you will have a good answer here. Obviously, you coached with Sean Payton. You were one of the first free agent signings when Bill Parcells showed up in Dallas. You got a good Parcells story that informs maybe who you are as a coach or anything like that? You got a little Parcells in you, Dan Campbell?
Man, I got a million Parcells stories. You know, there's... Man, I mean, between both of them, and there's so much of Sean that is himself, but also that as well that you take. No, I mean, look, the only thing here's this sums up Bill. That's why I love Bill.
Okay.
I'm a free agent. It's not even a funny story. I don't know why I'm saying this.
But
I'm a free agent. I go to Dallas, and that was because of Sean. Sean vouched for me, and I spent all my career, most of my career, 8 out of the 11 years, as a player with Sean Payton, and then another 5 as a coach. So my career is because of Sean Payton. But Bill, so he vouches for me. I go and so I'm like, man, I'm free agent. I'm like, need a tight end. I'm going to be a starter. You know, I'm going to be a starter. I'm going to go to Dallas and start. Mm. And Bill tells me straight up, I'm just telling you right now. He goes, we really like you, man. You fit here. There's a place for you, but you're a backup. All right. You're not a starter, and you're not going to get starter money. And
wow.
Want you, you know, and I mean, it was straight to the point. And I remember I was so heated, you know, but it was almost that, you know what? Yeah, I will come here and sign as a backup just to prove you wrong, which is ridiculous, right? It's like a mind trick. But Bill was the best, man. You loved him or you hated him. I loved him. And, he is one of these unique, rare coaches in this league, like Sean Payton, that I'm fortunate to be around. I was fortunate to be around some great coaches, and I've tried to take the best of all of them.
But I'm sure are you that brutally honest with your players, because he was that way with you? I mean, is that sort of you picked
try
up
to
on
be,
the,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to lie to my players. And it may hurt and it may sting, but I want them to know the truth, because it's not fair to sit there and tell somebody you're doing good. And then you cut them, or you're doing good. And then they're not playing. And so you just tell them, man, rip the Band-Aid off and let them know. And they may not like it, but they'll respect it.
I'll tell you before I let you go, my favorite Parcells story I heard was from Paul Tagliabue. When I first took over with NFL Network about 20 something years ago, Tagliabue said he was standing at midfield of a practice with the Jets when Parcells was there. And Parcells, there was a defensive line drill going on at the goal line, 50 yards away. And Parcells is getting on a bunch of guys. And he turns to Bill and he goes, Bill, we're the same age. I can't see 5 yards down the field. How can you see everything going on down there? And he reaches into his pocket, takes out a list of 10 names. He goes, I had a list of 10 guys that I knew I was going to get on and practice today. I'm at number 3. Stick around. I got 7 more to go.
That's Coach. He's the best, man.
That's one of my favorite stories I've picked up in 20 years doing this gig. Dan, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's do this whenever you're up for it. And I call. But So I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
That's Dan Campbell here on the Rich Eisen Show. What a delight again.
Man, that's great.
Boy, Lions fans are out of their skulls.
Yeah, you see why everybody loves him.
Now, because when he started the way he started with few wins to say the least, and kind of it was like kind of like the Hoosiers moment, right, where he's got, I've got a plan. A lot of people thought he didn't have a plan because he came in talking about biting kneecaps and all sorts of Hannibal Lecter type stuff. And like, is he serious or not?
Right.
And
who is this guy?
What he is a coach of the year candidate. That's for sure. Perennial now. Perennial. They are plugged in. He's plugged into the town. They're plugged into him, and they just love it. I bet you, you know, Lions fans hear an interview like that, they want to run through a wall. So there's that. Taking on the Tennessee Titans this week. And then they're at Green Bay, at Houston. That Houston's a Sunday nighter.
Ooh, that's going to be great.
Home for Jacksonville, at Indianapolis. Then it's Thanksgiving against Chicago. Before a Thursday night the following week, home for Green Bay, when both teams, because Green Bay has a Thanksgiving night game in Miami. There'll be a full complement of rest. Both teams coming off of a full week. Then there's a Buffalo game at San Francisco, finishing up against Chicago and Minnesota. So much fun Lions football to come. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, the Lions, as you know, I believe are the favorites to win the NFC right now. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Right now, 5 out of the first 6 wins. The only team at 5-1 other than Minnesota. They're the top seed right now through 7 weeks. I kind of feel good about it. We come back. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how Monday night went for them, and the lasting effect it will definitely have on their season. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
I do believe it was the first time that we met. I'm going to bring this up. It was in the city of Houston.
That's right.
It was the first ever Super Bowl the NFL Network had ever covered. But you and the entire Manning family strolled into the Gatorade suite. And who did you hear singing karaoke in the Gatorade suite that night?
It was a beautiful voice.
What do you say, like, voice, in terms of
it was beautiful. Like an angel bringing us in. Mm-hmm. And there we walk in and we see Rich Eisen, karaoke. Dominating.
To basically, by the way, nobody else in the room, right?
Yeah, just solo. Just, you know, you get a little practice.
There was me and my buddy. There was nobody else.
What song, Eli?
That is a good question.
Sinatra.
Sinatra?
I forget which one it was.
Okay.
Well, I mean, New York, did you have to ask?
Yeah.
Seriously, it was me and my buddy.
And I remember it. We walked in and we joined. Now, but we joined right in.
Did you did sing, right? You guys all did get on the mic.
I think we got up there. You know, we can't turn that down.
No, I know. And right. It was honestly me.
It was obviously like pre-cell phone. No one had a camera. You didn't worry about anybody filming.
Yeah, so there's no video.
You get up and sing.
Anything,
you saw karaoke, you sang. You don't think twice.
It was just the moment.
Yeah,
that's
the
it.
Moment.
You didn't have to memorialize it. It was me, my buddy Doug, and then it was, I think, your entire family.
Yeah, probably
right?
The whole crew, yeah.
Your mom and your dad. Yep. You and Peyton and Cooper.
And Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. What do you have a go-to karaoke song, Eli, at all?
It's changed over the years, obviously.
Has it really?
You kind of go with the times. Footloose has always been one,
really?
Just because you can kind of dance with it. But now, it's tough. It's tough to do karaoke now. Mm. You're just kind of worried, people are filming all the time. Then they judge, and, I get judged enough. I don't need to be judged on my singing ability. That's for fun.
Yes.
Everybody's made it too serious.
Check everything out on our YouTube channel. Why don't you? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a start to the season they had. 4-2. One of their losses was a Thursday night loss that left a mark, obviously, against Atlanta. But they did beat Detroit, and it's just amazing how things work in this National Football League, how things can change so fast, right? Mm-hmm. And end of the first quarter, Mike Evans, who's gimpy, is all get out, scores his 100th career touchdown, and it's 10-0. And they're beating the Ravens 10-0. And if only they could have stopped the machines there. Because after that first quarter, Lamar Jackson went off. 5 touchdowns. The defense couldn't stop them worth a lick. And then even the ones where they did get a gift snap over Lamar's head that he did recover, they wind up giving up a Justice Hill 18-yard screen pass that allowed Justin Tucker to come out and get a free 3 points. And so the defense was on its heels the whole night. The fact that the score finished up the way that it did is a total mirage. Yeah. And, Mike Evans winds up having a ball go off his hands because it looks like he suffered a severe hamstring injury in the end zone.
Yeah, he was screaming in pain.
Right, and the Bucs also got screwed on a weird holding call that took a touchdown off the board.
Yep.
And things begin to spin out of control. They're down by 10 points with no timeouts left on their own, let me get this right, 18, with a minute and change to go. This thing is over and wrapped. And, Chris Godwin catches one for a first down, gets hip drop tackled with what it appears by Roquan Smith. It's being reviewed right now, this tackle by the NFL, and Roquan might get fined for it. Dislocates Chris Godwin's ankle. ESPN will not show the replay of it. He's air casted and carted off. Oh. This could be the last you see of Chris Godwin as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer because he is a free agent. And Evans is out for who knows how long because that looked significant. And Godwin's done. Surgery coming up. This team was up 10-0 on the Baltimore Ravens at the first quarter, trying to go to 5-2, taking over first place in the NFC South. And then that's what the NFL stands for, not for long. And Todd Bowles was asked, rightfully so, afterwards, why is Chris Godwin even in the game? And Todd Bowles gave a quintessential coaching answer because the game was still on. And here's what the exchange sounded like.
He's a player. We're trying to win the ball game. I mean, we were still down 10. We're trying to get extra points and kick another onside kick. It just happened. With Mike going down, we didn't have that many receivers left as it was, so we play what we got.
Isn't that even more, perhaps, important to preserve Chris for the Falcons and Mike's possibly not going to play?
Well, you can say that because he got hurt. We don't second guess. We got our guys. We're playing everybody we got. It's unfortunate he got hurt. We feel bad about that, but he's a football player, and he wanted to be in the game just like Baker and everybody else wanted to be in the game.
Don't you have an obligation to protect your players from themselves?
I do protect my players all the time. That has nothing to do with why we left them in the ball game. We still have a shot to score some points and win the ball game. It happened. It happens in football.
It's so unfortunate because, you know, Bowles is at, I mean, those are rightful questions. Why is he in the game? The fact that Evans is out, isn't that a reason why you should take him out? And the coach is like, well, we're down 10. I guess what? You get another chunk play after that, bring out McLaughlin and kick a field goal and get another onside kick, which, by the way, was working.
Yeah, they recovered one earlier.
Right, and then maybe a Hail Mary and you can tie the game. I mean, I mean, it's kind of a dumb and dumber chance that you have to do it, but it's still there. And I mean,
you're right. You ask the questions, fine, but football doesn't work like that. These guys are out there trying to win these games, and the guys don't come out. It's not like basketball all the time where you sub a guy out when you're down 10 with 30 seconds left. These guys are still out there trying to win and
which
trying
is why,
to get it.
Which is why Tua is coming back and not wearing a Guardian cap, saying that it's a personal choice. Because these guys don't go out there and think I could get hurt, and coaches aren't thinking these guys could get hurt. I should have them out of the game. But this game was really over, and I don't think anybody would have said to Todd Bowles afterwards, why did you take Chris Godwin out of the game? It would have been totally understandable, especially with Mike Evans out. And then you look at the schedule. You got Atlanta coming in your house. That's a must-have because Atlanta's already beaten you in theirs. And then you're at Kansas City and home for San Francisco. Now without Evans and Godwin, that bye could be bye-bye. And I say that knowing how much of a warrior Baker Mayfield is. Man, I feel for him too. And all the Bucs fans right now.
You could see it on his face when he was just squat down.
But of course, because he probably saw, who knows, up close what ESPN refused to show in a replay. And
well, you could hear one of the players let out a believable word when he really looked at the legs. So, yeah.
4-2, first quarter, up 10 on the Ravens. That is, are we going to look back at that moment as the last best shot for the Buccaneers season?
Maybe.
I don't know. Hope you can't put them out. By the way, they've got three really good running backs who can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, they really do.
You know, and we'll see what other receivers can step up. I mean, I'm
trade deadline coming up.
Right.
Got to think they're in
right.
The
maybe
hunt there.
They'll be in the hunt there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's a couple
anything
guys
can
out there.
Happen. You got a Warrior and Baker Mayfield, but right now, you know, you can kind of sit here and wonder if that snapshot of the first quarter score is going to be the Buccaneers' high watermark. Lots more to go, though, with some very lion-hearted veterans there. They got to play better on defense, though, that's for sure. Although Lamar make the rest of the league look like that, too. Johnny Manziel coming up in hour number two.
Yeah, I was surprised at defense. I mean, obviously, yeah. Ravens, Lamar, Derrick Henry, they're amazing. But I was surprised that they got shredded like that. It looked pretty easy with what
it's like every
the
time
Ravens were doing.
The Ravens, you could see, part of their Achilles heel is the number of penalties they get called on.
Yeah.
An offensive line's got there's a lot of holds, right?
A lot of holds.
But that just meant Lamar had, you know, 10 more yards to go get back, and he did.
Yeah, that was a play, too. They had scored a touchdown, got called back. Suddenly it's first and goal from the 20, and then immediately screen pass, Justice Hill touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess that was easy.
I know, you know, and I kind of knew how it felt like to be as helpless as a Buccaneer fan last night. I was going against Lamar in fantasy.
We almost got gotten sleeper.
Up 40. I was up 40, and I got last night. Because my buddy Doug also had Rashad White. At one point, though, remember when Lamar threw that ball backwards pass and the Buccaneers recovered it?
Yeah.
Lamar had a run before that put Doug up on me, and then the minus two had him back, and I'm like, you know, stop the count, rest everybody.
Yeah,
nobody was that was like everybody stayed in the game.
I know
everybody's playing, you know.
Yeah, they played pretty well.
Lamar got his fifth touchdown pass after that.
Yeah, they were up what 20 something, and he's still
crazy
out there. I was like,
everybody kept on playing last night. But yeah, Lamar, it may just at the end of the day that's just the way Lamar treats everybody now, and so does Derrick Henry. My God, what a combination right now. Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, playing at the top of his game, and Derrick Henry playing at the top of his ever together.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.